Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Heaven Land Devotions, or else known as the Little Green Pasture. So I hope everybody had a happy Thanksgiving. I did. It was a very nice time I had with my family. But I'm back, and I want to share a dream and a vision. I had another dream, and about an hour afterwards, I had a vision. And I'm going to share it again. The interpretation belongs to the Lord. I'll share it with you. I'll give some ideas of what I think it means or how it meant to me as I saw it. But as in everything, it's been all committed to the Lord. So I come to you humbly in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not any special person. I'm just sharing what I saw. And now I will pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you and I thank you so much that, Lord, there can be another day that I can express your glory, things you've shown me, things I've seen. And the impression of your Holy Spirit. For Lord, I know nothing of myself, only that which you've shown me and taught me and continue to teach me. For I live at your will. I pray, Lord, that you go before me in the words that I'll speak. For I've set the Lord always before me because you are at my right hand. Lord, I shall not be moved. I commit all to you and to the name of Jesus Christ, our soon and coming King. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I had this dream, and I'll tell it just as I saw it. I was just outside somewhere, and all of a sudden I found myself to become very tired. And not so much that I was physically tired, but I felt spiritually tired. Like I'd been walking a long time, that feeling where I'm like, I just need to rest. And so I found some place to sit down, and it was outside. And I thought to myself, I was so thirsty. Like I was so soul thirsty, so spiritually thirsty. And I said, I need something. I need it now. And I pulled out my phone and I thought, I just need to hear worship music. I need to hear a word. I'm desperate. I need something in order for me to go on. And as I looked, picked up my phone and looked at it, something was already playing, like it was already on. And it was so strange because as I was seeing it playing out in my phone, I was actually in what I was looking at. So it's very interesting how when you have dreams, you'll see things the way God wants you to see them, and it won't make sense to us. But it was that I was literally there in what I was seeing, though I was holding my phone looking at it. And so in my dream, I saw myself. I felt myself with that man that is often with me in my dreams. And I was hovering over, I was in this large, huge church, you know, the kind where they have those big pews that seem like they stretch out to the right, to the left forever. So I knew it was an enormous church, but I just was hovering over the top of it. And the pews were jam-packed, and all the men and women were dressed in beautiful clothing, and there it was shoulder to shoulder packed. There was, as far as I can see, there was no more room anywhere else to sit. And there was this big stage that just was massive. And there, I mean, even the pew looked a little on it, and the pastor was standing next to it. And just then I looked, because I'm looking down and I can see coming from up the aisle, the middle of the aisle, I saw a man, and this man was, this man was very disfigured. His body was twisted. You know, like that man, John Merrick, they referred to him as the Elephant Man. I like to call him by his name, John Merrick, and he was a Christian man. You know how he was just so contorted and twisted and how he could barely walk. That's how this man looked. And every step he took was painful. And they were very tiny steps. And his legs and very feet were twisted. And his body was twisted this way and leaned back. And his face was forced upward. So he couldn't even look at where his feet were walking. But his face, because of his body being frozen and twisted in that disfigured way, his face was forced up to look up. And as he was walking, I could see that he was in so much pain, that it was so hard for him. Each step of the way was painful. And he was giving it everything he got, one tiny step at a time. And the whole church was silent. People were not moved by it. They just had a blank look on their face. At first, I just thought they just didn't know what was happening. I noticed that the man, I zeroed in on his clothing, and I noticed that he was wearing clothing that was very, very dressy. And I mean, everybody there, like the men were wearing suits and the women were wearing beautiful clothes, but this man had clothing on like formal wear. And I saw that it had to be especially made for him because he was so contorted and twisted and malformed. And so after a period of time of getting there, and he was in so much pain and agony, and his eyes were even closed at times because of the pain, and he gets to these three little stairs that took him up to this enormous platform. And he got up there by himself without any help. And then again, he had to walk over to where the lectern was. And everybody's just sitting there. No one's really moved by it. And so the pastor says, "Well, here he is." And he stepped back. And this man began to sing. His voice was not a good voice. And the people began to look at each other like, "What is this?" You know, people were just like deadpan faces. And the man, you know, and they were like, "Okay," like I noticed that some faces were, "Well, this is what the pastor wants. So I guess we just got to be here," you know. And so there's all these different faces of, you know, that kind of thing, or just flat, like there was nothing. And so I noticed that the more this man began to sing, and his face was twisted upwards, I mean, completely up like this, it was so frozen like that, but he had his eyes closed. And as he began to sing more and more, his voice began to change, and his voice began to become more sound and more beautiful, and it became stronger and stronger, and then it became louder and louder, and the words of praise unto God. And even though there was no instruments, it was so powerful. It didn't need any stringed instruments. It didn't need any pianos. It didn't need anything. It was so powerful, the worship that was coming out of this man. And he just sang and he worshiped in the presence of the Lord. And as I was looking down, the people just sat there. They were icy cold. There was no expression. There was nothing. And right then, as I was, because I could, obviously I'm in the power, I'm being fed, right? Like I was so thirsty. And so right then I was being fed. I was so Just drinking it in. And right then, something caught my attention, and I looked away from the phone and I looked up, and somebody wanted me to come to them to ask me a question. And I was not really happy about that, but I sat the phone down. I went to the person and they asked me a question, and I was like, okay, it was like really nothing. And I ran back because I was like, I don't want to miss out. I don't want to miss out on that what I was just seeing. But as I turned back, because it was just a short little distance, I see my cell phone on the ground. And I thought, this is my cell phone. Why is it on the ground? And I looked, and there was that other cell phone. I'm like, whose cell phone was that? I had no idea, although I had it at first and it appeared to be mine. But yet I see my cell phone, and that's a different cell phone just left there. And I saw the screen was black. And then I looked down and I picked up my cell phone. And as soon as I picked it up and it had a solid black screen, I heard a voice say very strongly, say out of my phone, God will lose America. And the man that said it with strength. Like it just came out like as like a proclamation, like with a strong declaration rather. And then another voice said, this is the word of a prophet. And I woke up. And I could still feel myself in the presence of the Holy Spirit, though my eyes were, I'm awake and my eyes are open. And I said to myself, God will lose America. God never loses anything. God doesn't lose. But I was so in the spirit that I heard within, because I could still see, and I felt like in a sense I was still in that dream, though I was awake. And the Holy Spirit said moreover to me, it's not that God will lose America. It's that he has given it, he will give it over as a loss. And that was a very sure word. So I got up and I went into the living room and I prayed and I sat and I meditated. Now I want to pause there because it's very important for me to pause before I tell you what I saw in a vision. Yesterday, day before that, as I was praying, I prayed through the things I wanted to pray. And then I give that holy pause, which the last phase of prayer is silence. It always is, it must be. And I sat there in silence and I said, oh yeah, Lord, I forgot to pray for Israel. I'm going to pray for Israel right now. And as I began to pray, I was a little bit struggling. And not that God didn't want me to pray for that, but there was something else. And I know that because I've been praying for a long time, I could tell. But I prayed anyway. And I said, oh Lord, thank you that you are over Israel. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all the work that you're doing, even though we can't see it. And thank you. And then I was cut off, like something just ended my prayer. And all of a sudden, I began to feel my heart moving and stirring within me. And I began to become moved to the point of tears. And I said, oh Lord. And I began to understand what the Holy Spirit wanted me to pray, but my carnal mind said, and I could feel even the enemy just a little bit playing on a fear of mine. Are you sure you want to pray that? Are you sure you want to say that? Because I knew that what I was about to pray, I'd have to step over a threshold, so to speak, in obedience to Jesus Christ. And I really thought about it. That's what you do when you get older. You just don't run in. And so I said, I'm going to pray it. And the moment I said the prayer, I went in. I felt like I went in the spirit, like there was an open door. And I prayed this. I'm not going to give the whole tenor of the prayer, but I just went with it. I said, Lord Jesus Christ, because I just said, I'm going for it. I'm jumping off the ledge. I'm going to be obedient to Jesus Christ. I'm not going to worry. And I'm going to be obedient to the one that I surrendered my life to. And I said, oh God, I pray right now that you will send your power, that you would reveal yourself to the most wicked people of this war. Now, my carnal mind is hearing me say this, but my spirit man knew, because I had this inrush of power to pray it. I know the difference. And so I knew that this is the will of the Lord. I said, Lord, you know who will come to you and you know who will not, but even from the very wicked to those, Lord God, who are been in blindness by Satan, to those, Lord God, who have in a sense like of Israel in book and chapter 2 of Luke, they that sat in darkness have seen a great light. I said, Lord, let them see as they sit in darkness. Let all of the people of Gaza, you know who they are, and I'm not going to fear to pray it, because I'm going to answer only to you. And as I prayed that, I felt this force of power of God's pleasure of that prayer being prayed, because God says the long suffering, it says of him, the long suffering of the Lord is his salvation. And then I stopped the prayer short, because I said, okay, that's enough. That's, and I just felt to end it. Now, fast forwarding to Thanksgiving morning. So this is at about 2:30 in the morning. And so I had prayed, and I forgot that I even prayed that yesterday. So, because when I pray, like, I'm just going to be open about my prayer life. Yes, there are people I pray for. Yes, there are things that move me. Yes, there are things I'll think about, but I give way to the Holy Spirit. I don't just come bombarding in. Every day is different. Every day is different. That's why I don't do prayer lists. That's why I don't do any of that. I wait for the Holy Spirit. I give those silent pauses, because I want to be, that's what prayer is. It keeps you in lockstep with God, with the Holy Spirit. So I had finished praying. I had prayed for those people and things that have moved me, things I believe that were from him. Then I ended my prayer. I opened my Bible. I'm starting to read my Bible. And then it dawns on me. I said, oh yeah, Lord, I forgot to pray for Israel this morning. I said, I'm going to pray for Israel right now. Again, that same thing happened, where it came instant, it came right up to me, it came right up within me, the prayer I prayed the day before. And so I prayed for Israel. But yet, as I prayed for Israel, I knew that the Lord, that the Holy Spirit was bearing witness to my spirit, that, and I'm not putting words in the Lord's mouth, but it was what I was receiving was, I've got that handled. This is what I want you to do. Now, let me just pause here before I tell you what I saw and what I said. Understand, this is what the Lord is doing in me. I'm not here to toot some horn. I'm not here to say, look what I dreamed. It's really hard, to be honest with you, to get up here and do this, because that's not what I really like to do, unless there is a movement of the Spirit, and I believe he wants me to do this. There's been a long time I went without having dreams and visions, and I was just totally fine with that, because I believe if that's what he wants, that's what he wants. And if he has something he wants to show me for his purposes, he knows my number. But I leave all of that with him. So I just am saying that, and this is not for you. This is not a charge for you to do this. I am only sharing with you, and you take it to the Lord in prayer, okay? So let me get back. So I began to pray for Israel, and as I prayed, it was that he was saying, I was receiving in my spirit, go forward and pray. Again, I felt that coming against me, but not a lot, but just the, are you sure you want to go through with this? Are you sure you want to pray this prayer? You do realize, like, and it was such the voice of the enemy, you do realize you'll make a lot of people mad. There will be those that will unsubscribe from you. There will be those, and it was all directed to me. Like, you know how Satan does that? He wants you to be self-focused so that you're like, oh, I better not. But you know something? You get to a point in your life where you say to yourself, I choose every day whom I serve, and it's real. And so I pushed past those voices, even my own, where I was kind of going, I don't know, do I go further in this? All of a sudden, I jerked myself out of it and I said, no, let me say this, Jesus, to you right now. I said, it was like, it's that I could hear Jesus saying to me, will you dare to pray? Will you dare to pray? See, all of that over there is being taken care of. It's they're being prayed for. All the things you're praying, you're thinking to pray for. I want you to pray for this. Will you dare to pray? And that was such an emphasis within me. And I said, yes, Lord, I will dare to pray. And so I went right in it and I began. I said, Lord. And as I was praying, the light was on in the room. My Bible is open on my lap. And I began in the power of the Spirit. And I said, because the Holy Spirit can only give you that unction and that power and that force of prayer, because he has to move in you like that. He has to work with our spirit. He has to work with our personality. He has to work with us. But when you get older, you spend a shorter time in that and say, what will you have me to do, Lord? Like Paul did. And I'm not saying I'm equal to Paul at all, but you do that. And so I said, oh God, I said, I pray for the people of Gaza. And even the most wicked, you know who will never come to you. You know who hates you. You know those who are cursing you, who will refuse you until the very end and will never, ever turn to you. I said, and those again, Lord God, that sit in darkness, let that great light. And all of a sudden, I felt something expand in me. And I said, and Lord, I pray, release your power over the whole Middle East. And as soon as I said that, in my eyes, I can see a vision. And I was in the atmosphere above the earth over the entire Middle East, and I could see it perfectly. And I saw from border to border, from sea to sea, from north to south, from east to west, I saw all the lands as golden wheat. And I can see a wind come over the wheat, and all the wheat in the entire Middle East bowed under that wind. And this may not make any sense to you. I don't understand it, but I saw the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not saying I saw a form of a person, but I saw the wind. Wind is invisible, right? But I saw it, and I saw this clear, and it looked, and it was living. It wasn't just a wind, it was this living thing. And it was like it was, it's recorded in the Bible as the terrible firmament. This, and it was almost, it was just, and it was alive, and it was, and it just came down from heaven, and it went over the entire Middle East, and all that golden wheat from shore to shore, from north to south to east to west, bowed. It all bowed under his power. I was in so much awe. I still am right now. And yes, I dare to pray. I do dare to pray. You know why? Because the Lord is coming again very soon. And he wants people that sit in darkness to see his great light. And that is my charge. I pray the Lord bless you with anything that you know in your heart or you're seeing. Feel free to comment. I believe that first dream I had and that man that was crippled. What was so interesting is I kept thinking about that man, that crippled man, and I began to pray and I was saying, Lord, that man, that one only man. And I began to receive some understanding that that one man who was dressed in formal wear, it looked like a tux, but like a crisp white shirt, and even though it was on his crooked body, and that represented all of those believers throughout the whole world that have been crippled in oppression, who have been going the rough way the whole way. They're all the had been in oppression, that every step for them has been painful in this life, but they kept going. And the fact that his face was twist, his neck was twisted in his back because he was leaned over, his back was back this way, but his face was up. That spoke to me that that face that was frozen like that in worship and in tears represent those that have lived a life of absolute pain and struggle and isolation and loneliness and constant wars and having to fight every square inch of the way continued. They had an attitude of worship. They are the true worshipers that worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And that man who began to sing, and his voice was weak and it was ruddy and it was untuned, grew stronger and stronger. There's a scripture that says, he that holdeth on to his righteousness shall grow stronger and stronger. And that man was weeping and he was crying and he was worshiping, and there needed to be no instruments. You know why? Because that man in himself was an instrument of the Lord of holy worship. And these are the ones that stand alone. These are the ones that are his hidden ones, the ones that everybody looks at and turns away. They, like Jesus, it said in Isaiah 53, for he was like a shoot out of the dry ground, and we hid our, he had no form or comeliness, that we were attracted to him. We hid therefore our faces from him. But that man did not hide his face from the Lord. You see, people that continue to go on in each painful step are soon to sing in that glory. And I believe that's what it meant. And to hear those words from that black screen, God will lose America. And through the interpretation of the Holy Spirit, he's giving it over as a loss. He's coming again. And like it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, 13, for we, according to his promise, do look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Will you dare to pray and be obedient no matter if the whole world yells at you, turns against you? I'll tell you one thing, you will never regret being obedient to the one who what he became obedient unto the cross, even unto the death of the cross alone. Praise the Lord. God bless you. And I pray you really will dare to pray.